You would turn in the scriptures to Genesis and chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 26, the whole chapter. Genesis chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahujael, and Mahujael begot Methuselah, and Methuselah, begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Those are God's words. So you remember the last chapter detailed the fall of man into sin by eating of the forbidden fruit, by disobeying the Lord. The only hope offered to them was in verse 15, the God-man Jesus Christ, who obeyed perfectly all of God's commandments and suffered death, being punished for the sins of others. They're shown when they clothed themselves with garments, or the Lord clothed them. And now in chapter 4, we see the children, the first children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And as Adam was the murderer of all mankind, his son follows in his footsteps. Cain killing Abel after the Lord had regard for Abel's offering and not Cain's. For one, because Cain did not bring of his first fruits from his work. And his heart, too, was not worshiping the Lord. It even said in verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? His offering would have been accepted if he did well. But it was not, because his heart was far from the Lord and he did not offer the first fruits. And from this, Cain became angry at the Lord. And he took that as it, he let that anger fester and he murdered his brother. And following this, we see verse 11, the Lord curses Cain, his curse to be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. He's excommunicated. Verse 16, being sent out from the presence of the Lord, sent to the east. And then the end of chapter 4 gives the descendants of Cain. And that will be contrasted in chapter 5 of the descendants of Seth or Adam, the children, or the seed of the woman here, the seed of the serpent, the descendants of Cain. But with the death of Abel left a question of the coming Messiah, the Lord's promises of the last chapter in jeopardy to the sight of man, but never in question before the Lord and His promises. He's always faithful. He demonstrates that, especially in this first book of Scripture, about this first promise that from the seed of the woman would come the one who would crush the head of the serpent. He is always faithful. And so Adam and Eve have another child. Who is going to be that child? That's the question. Who's going to be that child who leads to the birth of Jesus Christ thousands of years later? And that's in question when Cain killed Abel. Cain's kicked out. He's not one of them. Abel's dead. Who's now this child? And it's the same question that goes throughout Genesis. And you have then verse 25, the birth of Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. Another seed, a seed of the woman. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, his name Enosh. And then we have the great statement we ought to rejoice in. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord, because there's hope in the Savior, in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the testimony we have here in chapter 4 of the heinous sin of murder that started with the sin of murder in the heart, that is anger, perhaps bitterness towards his brother, that the Lord had accepted his offering and not his own offering. And so jealousy and many other sins that were present that we could imagine have come up in us when we get angry and upset at our family members, at our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that even, as we've learned, our enemies, when we ought to love them. And Father, we plead that You would forgive us of our sins. Our sins against the sixth commandment, against You and the sixth commandment, breaking that and murdering in our hearts, murdering in our minds, murdering in our desires, even in our feelings. We have sinned against You, just as Cain sinned against You. And often when we think of bringing in and offering the first fruits of what You've provided for us, Father, our heart is not in it. We are not joyful, cheerful to give. We are not doing so voluntarily, but because we think we have to do it. It's our duty, and therefore we should do it. But Father, make us to have willing hearts to give, but not only just to give, as Cain did, but to give of the first fruits, to trust you with providing for us in every step, but not only in giving, and as we think of the collection and offering, but even our lives, that our lives should be given unto you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you in accordance with your will. And so, Father, may we give willingly and cheerfully every step that we take, every thought. May it become captive under you, under the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the head of the church, and the head of all creation. Father, we ask that you would bless this congregation, that you would make us a sacrificial people, a serving people who love one another and love your body throughout the world, the church, your bride. We ask that you would provide that we might be able to witness and testify and support missions and support missionaries and help those in need and plant churches. Father, that is our desire, that your kingdom would grow, that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth would prosper and be faithful to you. And so, Father, make us to be a faithful people. Turn us from our sins. And Father, what great promises we have that as we turn unto you in Christ your Son and to him, our Lord and our Savior who died on the cross, Father, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, but only if we turn from our sin unto you. We cannot turn to ourselves. We cannot turn to this world. But we must turn unto you from our sin. And so work that in us by your Holy Spirit. We do not have the strength necessary. We don't have the will necessary, the fortitude necessary. We need your Holy Spirit, the grace and the strength of your Holy Spirit to help us, aid us, to fully assist us. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless us. But we don't only pray for the church, though we do. We ask that you would bless the church, bless our presbytery, bless the congregations who need pastors, so provide for them in Denison and Columbia and many others, Father, throughout our denomination. Father, we also pray that our witness would be godly, holy, that your love would be told to all nations, that even opportunities to speak to our governing authorities and our nation, that you would save them, even our local leaders, even to the president, all the way down. Father, give us opportunities to proclaim, that your children would proclaim the gospel truths, that Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life, where we sinned in union with Adam, we turned from you. But in Christ, Father, we see him who was tempted in every way and yet did not sin. And yet who went to the cross, not deserving death, but died for us there. That we would live because he rose from the dead to secure our justification, to secure our right standing before you. For outside of him, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so, Father, we plead that you would save our governing authorities, that they would love you, that they would bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the King over them, who rules over them, that they would bow the knee, and they would love you and serve you in all things, even according to your word. We pray that the government would cease trying to infiltrate the church in dictate to the church what we must do. Father, we obey You. We obey Your Son through Your Word alone. And so we're tempted to obey the government. Father, turn us to obey You first and foremost. And then obey as unto the Lord our governing authorities. Father, may You give us discernment in that. For there is many questions that go into and the discernment needed. And so provide it for Your by Your Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful that we prayed this week for Mark Stevenson. We praise You that his surgery went well, better than expected. And we give You all praise for that. Only You could do that. You are the healer of our bodies. We pray for all those else who are needing help and, with their bodies. Strengthen weak muscles and bones to serve You and to glorify Your name and worship You. We pray for all those who have had little babies, children in this congregation. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for the blessings that they are. And Father, we pray also for those in the womb, that You would grow them up to not know one day apart from communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May He be their Lord and Savior. And Father, make them have healthy bodies if it be Your will. And if not, help us as a congregation assist one another where that is needed. Even in helping assist raising our children together. Let us be iron sharpening iron, giving advice from the Scriptures. And make us to love each other and love each of these covenant children. May You give the ones present this morning Your Holy Spirit. And may they turn in faith to Jesus Christ, Your Son. Any others who may be here who do not know You, turn them in faith to Jesus Christ, Your Son, our only hope, the world's only hope. In a world filled with sin that leads to death in our bodies. And if we don't turn to Christ, we have the promise of death forever, as we heard last Lord's Day, death, death, or die, die. He will surely die in body and soul. For all eternity, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so give us faith. And for this faith You have given, we praise You. And we praise You in the name, even in all of our prayers this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.